from the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud. The Rangers win over the Anaheim Ducks of Anaheim, Southern California, whatever they call them now. 4-1. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. It was a great win. We'll bring on Ranger Proud, Facebook, Twitter, Ranger.Proud on Instagram. I got to say this, man. The fourth line has carried this game. Paul Carey with two goals. He almost got a hat trick out of it. DeRNA played very well. That whole fourth line with VC, active. Shattenkirk's defense on Jacob Silverberg tonight. Very, very, very good. Lundqvist with the saves. There's a lot to discuss. And the return of Mika Zibanejad. Well, let's bring on RP and talk some Rangers hockey, man. RP, what's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, pretty good, Steve. Good win tonight. And to jump right in, you're right. I tell you something. AV made another good coaching move. Instead of just sitting Desjardins and putting Zibanejad back in the top spot, he drops Desjardins down to the fourth line center spot. He sits Buniev's. Not that he was playing bad or anything like that, but Desjardins is a little bit more flexible. He can play the power play. He can kill some penalties. He could be used a little bit more. And I tell you, that line just jumped out tonight. Carey with his first two-goal game in his career. And like you said, the fourth line just didn't miss a beat.
So we got to see after one game, because I remember discussing with you behind the scenes as far as that move. And Buniev is being booted out for just one game only to see how that goes. And for one night only, DeRNay played absolutely spectacular. Him and Paul Carey and VC, if you want to count VC too on that line, played very well, man. They carried the team tonight, man, offensively.
Oh, they absolutely did. Another person who's been really quiet and struggling, Nick Holden, had a 2-point game tonight, I believe. They played well tonight. Contributions from, I don't want to say from people who haven't been contributing, but it was good to see Nick Holden getting some points. It was good to see Desjardins keep going. He was playing good when he filled in for Zibanejad on the first line. So to see him go to the fourth line, stay in the lineup, and contribute was really good. Kevin Hayes looked solid tonight. Zuccarello with his 20th assist on the season. They're starting to play some solid hockey. I don't know if you saw at the end. They're 14-5-3 at home, so they're starting to get that home dominance that I was talking about earlier in the season, that you want to see the Rangers come out and you want the opposition come in going, wow, these guys are tough. And the other thing I like, Steve, is they worked Anaheim hard. They were really throwing the body. After JT Miller took a couple of tough hits in the first period, he was a hitting machine the rest of the game. And they seemed to get not very tired, but they were getting their way with the Ducks right in the game. Of course, Gazlav is a great Duck. He plays solid every single night. But I got to tell you, all in all, they looked very good tonight. And it's just good to see that as a unit, what I've said all season, they're very resilient. Even though they didn't have the best first period, I thought they were outplayed for about three quarters of the first period. The scoring chances were so much more in the favor of the Anaheim Ducks. But with less than a minute to play in the first, the Rangers get the big goal and they don't look back from there.
Yeah, you know what you just said? You said Ryan Getzlaf plays great every night. But
every
just
night.
To your last point, that was, yeah, but to your point, just what you just said last about getting that goal at the end of the first, that was on him. Paul Carey went right by him in the neutral zone, and he didn't pick him up. I think he underestimated that Carey was going to get to the center and get fed the assist from DeRNay on that. That's the split seconds of hockey right there in a nutshell. A close game, a close first, a back and forth first period. I thought Anaheim had a lot of shots on goal in the first period, and the Rangers had their fair share too. But we would be killing the Rangers had they give up the first goal the way Anaheim did tonight. And it had to be their captain that did that. The captain, their captain did that.
It wasn't the play by, like you said, by Getzlaf wasn't good, but you can't underestimate Getzlaf because he has the kind of potential to turn a team around. So it was good to see the Rangers just, you know, kept pounding him and kept pounding on the team. I love the effort JT Miller game because he took a beating in the first period. He took two of the hardest checks you're going to see. And when he came back on the ice,
he came back with a vengeance.
Oh, man. After that, he kept going after everybody. So it was
They were messing with him and
a lot
Zuccarello
of good.
Too. Zuccarello as well.
I'm sorry, what was that? Too.
Zuccarello as well in that first period. They were messing with him as well. They had all these retaliations.
Zuccarello doesn't
penalties.
Need to score goals if he keeps making plays like he made tonight.
Hmm.
You know, McDonough played well. You know, I got to be honest with you, you couldn't find a lot of downside tonight. I guess the power play going 0-for-2 is still struggling. It was great to see Zibanejad back in the lineup. I didn't expect a lot from him. He's going to take a little bit of time to get the cobwebs out and, you know, get back to his game. Hopefully he can get back to where he was before he got hurt. But he, you know, it was great to see him back on the ice, to see the whole team as a unit again was solid. They played a good game. Defensively, Brady Shea, though, had another excellent hockey game. Ryan McDonough was all over the place. I mean, there wasn't a lot of bad. I did notice, you know, I didn't hear I didn't see him get a lot of playing time tonight, or at least I didn't hear him,
about?
I should say. Kevin Shattenkirk.
What are you talking about?
Shattenkirk.
Okay.
I didn't see
him
get a lot of ice time tonight. I'm just trying to look that up now. And
I'll tell you this, though. He did
a
good job.
He just had a quiet game.
Yeah, no, I would say it looked quiet for the standpoint that he didn't do as much offensively. Maybe he had one push that I can remember. But to my point right before I brought you on, he did a hell of a job on Jacob Silverberg tonight. And you didn't hear Silverberg's name called often. He's a guy, matter of fact, last year, I'm reminding myself because that was the game you went to last year versus the Ducks, right? When Josh Gibson was making all these heroic saves, right? You went to that Ducks game last year at the Garden, right? And Silverberg was a guy who's kind of, you know, had a good season against us, especially the game in Anaheim last year, if I can remember. And I think it was a great job by Shattenkirk. Every time Silverberg wanted to get something, Shattenkirk was on him pretty much every time they were on the ice together. And him having a so-called quiet night because the announcers didn't announce his name. There's a lot of credit to stopping one of their top guns. Well, a lot of the top guns are hurt, but Silverberg is like that next echelon of guy on that Anaheim Ducks team, and he was quiet. And you needed to stop a guy like him or Getzlaf, either one of the two. And Shattenkirk did his job tonight, man. He did very good defensively on Silverberg. I was really impressed tonight, especially what we saw. What was the game? Dallas game? Exactly last Tuesday?
Yeah.
With that energy? Yeah. I thought it was an excellent game by Shattenkirk tonight, man, defensively. Absolutely.
You know something? Now, this is what we've been looking for, right? The consistency, the hard play. Now, winning streaks, they've won 3 in a row. They're playing well at home.
Okay.
They're playing well on the road. He, you know, looking at the times on ice, AV really got everybody defensively. Everybody was in that 17, 18-minute range. McDonough played 20. Hey, the top guy on the ice tonight on the defense, Mark Stahl, 21 minutes on the ice.
Yep.
Solid hockey. You know me, I'm a big fan of his to begin with, but he's been playing a strong, steady game. You really can't complain much about the defenseman. Smith had a decent game. We already talked about Holden had 2 points tonight. If the defense could play the way they played the last three games now, maybe, just maybe the Rangers are getting over that hump of inconsistent play, finding more positives than negatives on the ice on both sides, offensively and defensively. And we've said all along, once they are capable of doing that, they're going to be a team to reckon with. When we go and we check out the standings now, you know, the Rangers are right up there with everybody. They're right behind the Capitals and the Devils for the division. And, you know, they got a big game coming up in New Jersey on Thursday. So it's fun. You know, the Rangers got 41 points. The Capitals and the Devils have 43 points. Things are really tightening up in the division, as we've been saying. I mean, it's just amazing how tight it is. But the better teams are going to start, you know, separating themselves, and you just hope the Rangers are up there. So, you know, the goal differential.
I think this is going to go down to March, man. I think they're all going to be in there, man. I don't know about the separation.
Absolutely.
I think they all have a chance. I think this is going to be a gauntlet, a marathon, man. This is a classic marathon race right now.
Yeah, it's been like that for a couple of weeks now. And you and I have said that it's probably going to stay this tight and this tough the whole way through. So as we keep saying, every point is so, so valuable. So they're just going to have to keep – I mean, they're becoming that dominant team at home, which is what you really want to see. They haven't had a lot of road games, but they're 5-7. You want to see them eventually, I'm sure, they'll get over the hump, you know, over that 500 mark and start to go into more wins on the road, which is what they're going to need. The second half of the season, as we said, is loaded with road games. So overall tonight, I mean, it was a really good game. Lundqvist, he had his 17th win on the season. Steve, he's played 29 games already, though. I don't know why AV is not using Pavlik just a little bit more. And you're not knocking anything, but you got to keep your backup goalie a little hot. And he had that incredible game against Dallas. You would have thought he would have got one more start somewhere. I mean, if AV is going to keep up the way that he's playing Lundqvist, then Pavlik's not going to start for a while because the Rangers are playing every other day. And not traveling a lot. So the Rangers really don't need to play Pavlik. You know, I know Lundqvist wants to play as many games as possible. We all heard that. We all know that. And the way AV's playing them based on how the schedule is currently, of course, that'll change. But the Rangers don't have any back-to-back games the rest of this month. They play the Devils on Thursday. They play at home against Toronto on Saturday. And then they have 3 days off until after Christmas. They don't play again from Saturday until Wednesday at home again against the Capitals. And then they end the year off the 29th in Detroit. So I got to tell you, and then after the 29th game, of course, you have the Winter Classic. And we know Lundqvist is definitely playing in that game. So the only game I would think that maybe he's going to give Pavlik a start to, maybe against Detroit. You know Lundqvist is going to play against Toronto and the Devils. And he's going to play against Ovechkin at home. I just don't see where they're going to put Pavlik in. I don't know if this is stupidity or if it's great. But for now, I guess you don't mess with it if it's working.
I want to go back to your point about Brendan Smith. We might be killing him if had it not gone the right way, because when the Rangers were up 2-0 and he had the control of the puck and he lost it, and Anaheim had this is in the sometime in the second period, later half of the second period, he loses the puck, right? But I think Anaheim overplayed the puck, and then the puck eventually goes back to Lundqvist, where he actually did a nice outlet pass to Vesey, who found Desharnais, and then Paul Carey for that second goal for Paul Carey to make it 3-0. I bring it all up to say is Brendan Smith's broken play led to Paul Carey's goal in a weird way. I didn't think that was going to be – it went from bad to, like, great. You really had that – when you're up 3-0, 2-0 is good, but 3-0 is like, okay, you could give up a garbage goal like Lundqvist did later in the third period. But Brendan Smith losing the puck, and I don't know if they're going to kill him or not, because it happened all in the same sequence. And you got to give credit to Lundqvist, would have made an excellent pass to Vesey up the boards, who found Desharnais and then Paul Carey right in the middle. That thing could have went bad, man. That could have went bad if Anaheim had played that. And I think the Rangers may have caught Anaheim in the line change as well. And it all kind of worked out that way. I wanted to bring that up. You brought up Brendan Smith.
Well,
and then also,
you know,
the
other fun goal to talk about the way things broke down on in the second period when JT Miller took a really hard body check. He gets knocked up and he gets up a little staggered and, you know, gets himself back to the bench.
After he missed the backhand, right?
Right before after the backhand was a really hard hit. Before that,
Correct.
He got knocked down. He got up. He staggers over to the bench. Who jumps on? Kevin Hayes, who breaks down and scores. So
that's right. That's
right.
Zuccarello found him.
Sometimes, you know, bad luck causes good luck. One door closes, one door opens. However you want to use it. The hockey gods are on your side a little bit. You get the bounce here and there. Right now, things that were happening bad for the Rangers the first 6 weeks of the season, now the puck's bouncing the other way and good things are coming. So it all comes around that as you go through the year. And you just hope you get more of the good breaks than the bad breaks as the season continues. But you're right. Those are some weird goals that were scored today. But you want to know what I always say? I'll take a win any way you can get it.
You have a good point on that, Kevin Hayes. I forgot about that. But we were just getting through all the other points we saw in the game. Because
right.
You're right. Because the Rangers got that goal early in the second period. And that was something we was killing the Rangers for anyway, giving them early goals at the start of periods or at the end of periods, especially at the start of periods. And they got that within the first minute of the second period. Just like as you said, because Miller got hit up. And then Hayes came on, and he was Zuccarello, who was coming back from behind the net. He made a cross pass to Hayes, who beat. He went top shelf on Gibson underneath the crossbar. It was a good shot too by Kevin Hayes too. That made it 2-0 at the time. So basically, the Rangers pretty much had two goals in a 2-minute span. If you really count the end of the first period going into the second period, that pretty much was the difference of the game. The fourth line, and then of course, like you said, with Miller coming off being banged up, getting hit, and I know him and Madsen had their back and forth this game. JT had his fair share of hits in return. You know, he was kind of one of those games where he just wanted to be chipped because Anaheim's a physical team. We said that for a couple of years here on this podcast. They want to hit, and they are a little bit banged up. They played without Corey Perry tonight, no Patrick Eves. Kessler, Ryan Kessler. I mean, that's a lot. That's more than what the Rangers are going through, man. That's a lot. You still got to play the game.
Kessler's mm-hmm. missed the whole season, they said, right? I didn't
know he
was that hurt. Yeah, I don't follow the West Coast as much. But like you
and
said,
then Getzlaff
everybody
was all
got their injuries to go through.
That's a lot, man. That is crippling, man.
Yeah.
That is crippling. But you know what? And it was really defaulted because, remember, didn't they play the Devils the other night? And they were up in that game. I don't remember if they won or not.
Yeah, they were up in the
they were playing during our holiday podcast. And they couldn't even finish off the Devils for us. Really, really. Wow. I know Hank saw pretty much a full game worth of shots through 40 minutes. He had to be up by 30. He must have saw 30 shots on goal at least by the second period. There were a lot of shots on goal. What is that really like, where it was like, oh, my God, the defensemen were nowhere to be found. Anaheim did put the pressure on Hank as much as they could. But he was spectacular tonight. Hank was great tonight, man. Really great. And you brought up the power play tonight as far as 0-2. Well, let me say this real important, and then you go back to Hank. You did mention the power play was 0-2, but I'm not going to jump on them because they did very well over the weekend. They were 1-for-3 on the power play versus the Kings on Friday, and they were 2-for-5 in Boston. 0-for-2.
I tell you something. They set up. They were getting some opportunities. They try to get Zibanejad going out there and all on it. Like you said, I agree. I wouldn't be jumping all over them. I, as long as they're getting their shots and they're getting their plays and so forth, I don't see much in that. They'll just got to keep working at it. But back to what you were saying, Steve, they had 31 shots on goal in the first two periods. Hank stopped all 31. 16 in the first, 15 in the second.
Ice hockey or air hockey, man?
This reminds me of the – This reminds me very much of the Dallas game last week, as you said. They had 31 shots on goal in the first two periods. And then in the third period, they got tired. Back-to-back games, third period. Never mind that they had 31 shots on goal, but they were down 2-0. And they only had 9 shots on goal in the third period. I mean, they still wound up with 40, but their meat and potatoes was the first two periods. The Rangers had 32. I mean, 10, 12, and 2 shots on goal for each period. Nothing great, but nothing bad either. It was it was pretty good. So overall, they put a lot together. You know, Lundqvist is playing solid. Got 17 wins on the season. You can't mm-hmm. complain about that. I mean, he's well on his way to get 30 for the year for, what is it, 12th out of 13 times. So, mm-hmm. Get ready to play another battle of the first on Thursday. And hopefully they just keep building, 3 in a row. Like I keep saying, guys, it's not just about winning one win. You want to start building up wins. You want to start getting momentum. That's 6 points, and all of a sudden they're winning the games that not that they should be winning, but they're playing good hockey overall. They beat a good Kings team the other night. They went and took care of Boston in Boston. They come back home to take care of the Ducks tonight. Just doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to go back a week because you mentioned the Dallas game. There was a difference in the body language. I thought Dallas played harder than what Anaheim brought to the table from an opposing team standpoint, but the Rangers body, Rangers were a lot better this Tuesday than what they were last Tuesday. I mean, last Tuesday were a D, at least a great D as far as effort. And they came out of that thing with 1 point. Rangers, by far, tonight was a way better effort than what we saw last Tuesday. And then we won't even get into – well, actually, we will get into what happened in Ottawa, since we might as well discuss that part as well. But it seems like it's almost long gone in the back in the rear view at this point. The Rangers last Tuesday, I think, was like a D. Tonight, I give them a B plus, A minus. Penalty kill was great. You know what? I might give them an A if they had the shutout. I mean, they gave up the cheap goal, but the Rangers tonight was phenomenal, man. I'd say about B plus, A minus. They gave up a lot of shots on goal, too many shots on goal for me, but effort wise, way better than what we saw last Tuesday and then even the game last Monday. And then you had the game versus Ottawa as well. Maybe we should. Is Ottawa still fresh in your mind after LA and Boston RP? Because I think that's a legit question. Does it bother you, or does those are two good wins Friday and Saturday? Man.
Well, you know, and so you look at it the other way. They get the overtime. Well, the shootout loss in Dallas. They pick up a point. They didn't show up for Ottawa. That always annoys me because I don't like it when they just kind of want to say they threw it and they just – it just didn't – sometimes you just have a crappy game, and that was the Ottawa game. So you put that one aside. And then you played three great games in a row. So you picked up 7 out of 10 points. Can't really complain, right? You're not going to win every game. They found a way to get a point against Dallas. They tanked the Ottawa game. And then they haven't looked back since. So, yeah, the Ottawa game's pretty much in my rearview mirror. Sometimes, you know, maybe Ottawa just has their number two coming off the playoffs last year. You really don't know. But I'm not even looking at that anymore. I'm just looking straight ahead at the doubles now, to be honest with you. Another big first-place game. You're battling points. The doubles are playing really good hockey. I don't really consider it a road game, only going, you know, couple miles away to Jersey, so it gives them a little bit of an advantage. There'll be a lot of New York fans there and all, and I'm just looking ahead.
I hear that. What about Paul Carey, man? Let's talk about Paul Carey. He looked great on that fourth line.
He looked good. Yeah.
He almost damn near had a hat trick. The third possible goal, it was probably the easiest shot he had all night. He missed it, but two goals, not bad, huh?
Hey, yeah, sometimes those easy goals are hard goals, right? But, yeah, he played
right,
well.
Right.
Him and Dejan are really clicked tonight. Dejan made some really nice passes, though. I mean, he puts the puck right on your stick. So it's really –
Let me have a follow-up question on that.
Go ahead.
A follow-up question on AV. Now, because do you like that AV has went to Desharnais and booted Nieves, maybe because of that factor of playing a fourth-line center? Do you like
I think when I first read it, I was a little surprised, and that just because I just think, okay, Zibanejad got hurt, Desharnais went in the lineup, and now Zibanejad's back, so Desharnais would come out of the lineup. It was just from a mental side of it, a thinking side of it. But when you really look at it, Bouniev's played really well. There's no complaints about his play. But if you look at it from the versatility of the two players, I would think Desharnais has the experience right now and has the edge, because you can put Desharnais on the top two power play lines if you need. He can kill off penalties a little bit better than the edge when they use them. They use them much, but AV likes to rotate a lot of guys. He would get in there more. He's a better face-off man than he is. So if you're comparing those two guys right now today, Desharnais has a little bit of an edge. I don't think Bouniev should take it as a knock. His play's been really well. I don't think AV's going to just send them down or anything like that, because you need to have that extra forward up. I think he's going to get his playing time in. And I just think right now, look, AV is hot as the Rangers are. He's made some line changes. He did it in the Kings game. He did it tonight with Desharnais. He's been making some subtle moves that have really paid off three games in a row now. So as the team is playing well, V's making some really good decisions to go along with that. So – you can't knock it when it works, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
as it goes on, he'll get his
playing
time.
What if it doesn't work,
really,
though, going forward? What if it, like, what happens if it Bosch is, like, two out of the next three games?
Well, if, then maybe he puts, then he switches it up. I mean, you know,
okay.
He has options.
I know. It's obvious, right?
There's nothing, look, all you can do is whatever the circumstances, you can try it, and if it doesn't work, you don't do it again. But if it does work, then maybe you stick with it. So the Rams have a three-game winning streak, but with some lineup changes because Vonnegut was out and this, but the team keeps winning. It shows their depth. It really does show their depth. So right now, this is how it's going to be for a little while. I would think right now you're seeing what the core unit is. Just the way they play tonight and just the way he looks, you're not seeing Stephen Camphor in a lineup anymore. He's really decided just to stay with Nick Holden, which is fine because as the Rangers are winning, he played well tonight. He hasn't been making as many mistakes as he has in the past. So you're going to stick with that. I think he'll get Buniers in a lineup. I don't think it's a problem if he plays this way three or four games and then sits Desjardins and puts him in just to keep his legs going and fresh. There's no need to sit him out totally. But let's be realistic. Somewhere along the line, he's going to stick with these four lines, these three defensemen, and that's it. There's not going to be any in and out. I mean, and that's not with the goaltending already. So you go, you know, it's a game-to-game thing. Even if the Rangers win, but he thinks something is off, he might make a lineup change. AV's done that before, too. So in that turn now until he can get back in the lineup when AV's ready to put him in. But he'll keep working hard and playing hard. You know, he's a young kid. He's got a lot of years ahead of him. He'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. What about the importance of JT Miller playing center in the absence of Mika Zibanejad? And that kind of carries over into the return of Mika Zibanejad and how you thought he skated tonight. So it's pretty much a two-part what I'm throwing at you with JT Miller, because we talked about all the hits he was absorbing and taking and giving as well tonight. And then the way he played in the absence of Zibanejad, and you had that versatile guy who could play wing, could play center. And then you have the situation where he started to get some goals going in the LA game and as well as Boston. If I think when you start scoring, especially scoring goals, not just the assist, but actually putting the puck in the net, it's like you have a little more bounce in your step. I mean, you saw it with Paul Carey tonight. You got one, like, damn, he's going to get another. It's like something about scoring goals, especially going game to game. And the way JT Miller played, especially versus the Kings and also the Bruins, but he brought it tonight, man. He brought it all weekend and carrying it over tonight. And what about your thoughts with between Miller on that aspect as far as what we talked about, that important versatility as far as forward, the center, wherever they need him to play, depending on who's in the lineup, who's out, who's hurt. And what about Mika Zibanejad's his return tonight as far as how he skated? Because I thought he almost settled Kreider beautifully. And then and Kreider almost scored that goal. It just went a little bit too wide of the net as far as the deflection. What was your thoughts on Zibanejad skating tonight and is also JT Miller?
Well, with Zibanejad, you know, first game back, what did he miss? Seven or eight games. I didn't expect him to be playing to play the way he played before he obviously got hurt. So I was just glad to see him out there skating. He was taking a body. He was getting in the middle of plays. He wasn't shying away. Those are all the little things you sort of look at after you come out of a concussion. You know, does he want to make contact? Does he want to get into the scrums and all? I thought he played fine. I thought he skated well and had some good plays. You know, give him two, three games to really get back into it. And I think you're going to – this time around, I don't think it's going to be like last year when he never – found his form. I think he's going to jump right back into it. With regards to JT Miller, I think everyone needs to forget what happened, what AV said in the preseason, at the beginning of the season, how he doesn't want to use JT Miller at center. I think now, the way I was saying, the team is kind of designed and shaped, JT Miller is going to be playing center. Because if you take him off center, you got to change up too many lines. And as much as AV didn't like it, I think he's adapted pretty well to it. You know, he's scoring, he's being aggressive, he's playing great on the defensive side of the puck. He's doing really well on the offensive side of the puck. He's always in the middle of something. He doesn't shy away. He doesn't back off. He's great on the boards. So I would think everything's going to stay the way it is in that. If you start messing around with moving JT Miller off the center, then you have to put someone else there, which means you have to sit another winger and bring another center in. So where does all that get you at the end? To move them off, you got to move two other men around, and someone else has to sit.
Yeah, that's too much.
You know, that's the thing with Nieves. Niaz is going to sit a little while now because he's a center, and right now the team has four solid centers. Eventually, who would be the only center that might get set a little bit? Maybe Desjardins, maybe not. You just don't know. So they're going to have to buy the time. We found it as a surprise that it was Bouniev being sat. But I'm sure once everyone knew Zibanejad would be getting back in one or two games, you know, prior to this, that AV and the coaching staff more or less had it worked out in their head what they were going to do and what they wanted to do. So this wasn't it was a surprise to the fan and to, I was talking today, but to the coaching staff and maybe even to Boo, who knows, they know what to expect and what was going on, and they're professionals, and that's just how you got to go with it.
Mm-hmm. Good points. Definitely understand exactly where you're coming from. I think that's something we already – no, I don't think. It's something we already did discuss, and it's pretty much playing out to fruition. Remember, we had the speculation this summer before the start of the season as far as missing a center or a true center, and it was going to have to be Miller by default. And this is pretty much how it's playing out, and we're just going to have to roll with it. So we're actually seeing it as we thought we would have seen it at the time. But this was before the Bouniévis situation. He was even uneven in thoughts at that point back in the summer. But Miller, no matter where they put him, he's gonna work hard. He's gonna get you some points. He played well the last several games as well. There's nothing else I could not say about his game as well. Let me ask you this, because I know it's kind of split in hairs. Kevin Hayes or Miller, you would rather have Kevin Hayes with Grabner and Jesper Fast on that line, or you rather keep it the way it was, or keep it the way it is with Miller, Nash, and Zuccarello, or do you mind swapping centers on those lines, or it doesn't even matter at this point? Or because I was actually kind of shocked to see that Miller was playing with Nash and Zuccarello a little bit, but it kind of worked out tonight. Well, it definitely worked out tonight, but is that something as far as line mates play, or is that something part of that AV shuffle?
Little bit of hope. I don't know. For some reason, I think you can change Miller and Hayes. I don't want to say that they're the same player, but they play the same kind of hockey. I think Miller is a little bit more offensive. Hayes is a little bit more defensive. He scored an absolutely beautiful goal tonight, not to take away from it. That's just sometimes how I feel it goes. If he wants to flip-flop the centers, sometimes it's easier to flip-flop the centers than flip-flopping the wingers. I really have a problem with it. I mean, like you said, they've been productive. As often as they've been flip-flopped, the lines have been productive. I mean, looks like it doesn't matter who Grabner plays with. He just keeps footing the puck in the net. I mean, he's got 17 on the season now. I mean, his last 2 years have just been incredible. So, I don't have a problem either way with it, to be honest with you.
Cool. Let's see, my other points I have for you and for all the Rangers fans who've kind of been coming at me as far as what they wanted to get their thoughts out on this podcast. And I wanted to say as far as the value of the wins of the L.A. King game, the Boston game, that's somewhat of a rivalry game, original six. Good win tonight. We move forward later this week, as you already said, with the Devils, Maple Leafs. As far as getting back in the thick of things, I think we're right there with everybody as far as big picture with everybody else. 2 points are very important this Thursday with the Devils, right?
Yep.
I think the Rangers weathered the storm a lot, man. With Zibanejad being out, they weren't at full strength, but they did what they needed to do as far as winning a lot of those games. They kind of sputtered a little bit last week. I can't be too mad at the Rangers as far as what they've done to get out of the hole they've done, man. I think they've done a nice job, man.
Agreed. You want to know something? They did what they had to do. They had to keep their head above water. You know, other than the power play really faulting, they didn't play that bad when I was in Zibanejad in the lineup. Right? I think he stepped up. He really stepped up for the scoring and being reliable. And I mean, that's what you need. That's what we keep talking about. The team needs to show that they have the depth. Because injuries are going to happen. I mean, we were just talking about the Ducks. And every team's going to go through it, and it's the teams that can battle back and survive the injuries and still be on top. That's what you're hoping for. That's what you're looking for. And right now, that's where the Rangers, for now, they are. I mean, they hopefully the start of the season was their downfall of the season. I hope, you know, you don't want to see them go through another stretch like that. I don't necessarily think you will. I mean, everyone's going to lose games here and there or two-game streaks and the such, but I don't think you're going to see the Rangers play as poor hockey as they did during that stretch. So you just got to, you know, keep trying to climb up the ladder and keep finding positives and keep correcting your mistakes.
This game could have been a trap game, in essence, right? If you're the Rangers, you look at the team you're playing, a lot of those guys are banged up. You have your rival coming up this week. They could have, and the Rangers played well at home this year. This season they played at home. They could have did something like what they did Monday versus the Stars. They could have pissed on the ice tonight, but they didn't.
Well,
their energy was outstanding tonight.
And the problem with that is that's where that quicksand terminology I use comes in. They would have tanked tonight, and then you struggle against the Devils, and then you hike it up to Toronto, and all of a sudden you lose three in a row. So It's important. It's important to show up for every game. It's important to show up for every period, show up for every shift. There's just no, you know, it's so tight you just can't afford it. And that's not to say, you know, other teams are saying the same thing too. You know what I mean? Some nights other teams are going to be the better team, and you hope most of the night the Rangers are the better team. You know, a long way to go. Our own division is going to really be our destiny. The better teams are in our division. I mean, let's just be realistic. You got a lot of games against the Penguins and the Capitals and the Blue Jackets. Obviously, the Devils and the Islanders, even though they lost tonight. There's a lot going on within our own division, within our own conference. So the Rangers are just going to have to keep taking care of business.
I got to be honest, RP. I underestimated David Desharnais in the offseason when we acquired him from Edmonton. I thought he would have underachieved a little bit, because I thought the way he played in Edmonton, you know, after the trade with Montreal, I thought he would have came to New York and kind of faltered. But on many occasions, that I could point to a lot of examples this season. The main one, obviously, with Mika Zibanejad out, and he's really holding down the fort for Kreider and Buchnevich. But just in this tonight's game, I got to give you a perfect example and why I got to give him props on that Paul Carey goal, the second one, not the first one at the end of the first, but the second Carey goal that made it 3-0. I mean, did you see the move he put on the Anaheim Duck defender when he cut back? He stopped on the dime and did a spin. He left the guy pretty much shook in his track. He had like at least a good 3-4 feet of separation, just stopping on a dime and doing a spin and finding Carey all in one motion. You see that on the stat sheet as an assist, but I mean, just the play itself and how fast he was skating and stopping. And he's more of a smaller guy, and he's kind of elusive. And I think that's the best way I can say it. His elusiveness is one of his, you know, along with his face-offs. Why, you know, I thought one of the main reasons why he came on this team, because of his excellent face-offs. But that's part of his game I thought left in Montreal and didn't carry over to Edmonton. Maybe he was just out of sync with those guys, with the Oilers. He played here and there. He was okay when he got into the playoffs. But, man, the moves he makes behind the net or even in transition, even at the circles, finding guys, the stat sheet doesn't do it justice unless you have to see the replay. He's phenomenal. For a fourth line, man, he's pretty good, man. I got to give it to him. I kind of wrote it off in the summer. Remember, I kind of wasn't too high on that.
Yeah. Well, a lot of us were, because, you know, everyone knew he was signed to be a center, but, you know, no one really knew who he was. He was with Montreal. He was with Edmonton last year. And, you know, that's going to happen. Yeah. He's a much, much better skater than I knew him to be.
I see.
We knew he was good on faceoffs. So, you know, he's starting to play. He looks like he's getting more comfortable, you know, in the system. I guess that has a lot to do with the two coming to New York from Canada and so forth. There's just a lot to it and all. But ever since he took over for Zibanejad when he got hurt, up until this point, it's probably his best stretch of hockey he's played with the Rangers. So, you could see why he played him tonight. I mean, that's what I was saying. I understand the move of of putting him on the fourth line, and absolutely paid off tonight for him and for Paul Gary. So with that, you know, let's see what he can do in New Jersey. He's just gonna keep up. He doesn't seem like that kind of guy. He doesn't seem to be a streaky guy. He's not a big goal scorer, but he's a good faceless man.
Mm-hmm.
He'll give you some valuable minutes when he's on the ice. They're not asking a lot out of him, so if he can keep that up, he's going to hold on to the spot, and he should. He's a solid two-way player.
Yeah. I got to give Jesper Fastplay, I thought it was pretty good tonight as well. He drew a penalty as well. I know that Rangers didn't get the power play out of it or power play goal out of it. But Jesper Fast drawing penalties, lazy hockey for the Anaheim Ducks. That's not an issue, but got to give props to Jesper Fast. Complete team win, man. Grabner again with the goal, and they went to the, you saw the referee. He was real dramatic.
That was great.
Is that part of the new MSG Entertainment package now? Is that part of the MSG Entertainment package?
Yeah.
The delay.
The delay. It was funny because right before he did that, John Giannone was in between the bench for the Rangers tonight, and he said the linesman came over to the Rangers coach and said, "Watch this." Didn't say what he was going to say. He said, "Just watch this," because they were saying that referee loves the spotlight, and the whole drama.
Oh, I see.
He did it and all. It was great. I said, "Well, it was great because it was for us." With against us, you probably want to rip
it. It better have been.
But,
after that delay.
It was. well, that was the. Once you saw the replay, you saw what an easy call that was. So, that was pretty funny. And really quick, I'm sure off the Rangers for a moment. I'm sure you heard about the New York Islanders announcement today, right?
Yeah, I was going to get
pretty
to that. Oh yeah, I was going to get to that.
You know something?
Oh, yeah,
from a Ranger fan, that rivalry I think is important. As much as we say we hate the Islanders, and we do hate the Islanders, but wouldn't want to give up a Ranger-Islander rivalry because there's nothing like it in sports. So maybe the Belmont move works. I mean, they can't keep moving around. They're going to have to find a home eventually. They're running out of places to go. So
let me ask you this. Hold on. But isn't it with that they have the rights to that land? It's not like it's guaranteed, but they have the rights to that land. So it's guaranteed that they have the funding to build a new arena stadium already? They have a group?
No, what it was...
I don't know the details like that. I know they have the rights.
Two different organizations looking to take that property and build on it. The New York Soccer League that was out here, the one I believe I played the Yankee Stadium. I forgot their full name.
Yeah.
They wanted to build a 30,000-seat venue, big soccer stadium in the same location. The Islanders, of course, wanted to build a hockey arena. And the big difference was with the hockey arena, they could have year-round sports. They could have concerts and basketball, like they do with the Garden and the Barclays Center. Whereas the soccer stadium, it was only going to be for soccer. So the Islanders team had a huge advantage because they could do more year-round, make more money. They're going to build a hotel with 300 rooms, and they're going to do all these things. So today it came out that the Islanders won the bid. And they'll be able to eventually move at Barclays into Belmont. As a matter of fact, tomorrow, Governor Cuomo is having a press conference at Belmont to officially announce it. So we'll get some more information and timeline and all of that. The next thing with that transaction is the Islanders will officially announce the Barclays Center January 1st that they're not going to extend their lease. And no one knows what the next date is there. But that, in essence, will begin the process of the Islanders leaving Brooklyn and going back to Nassau County.
Gotcha. I see. I don't know if there's anything else I wanted to add. I mean, I know around the league, Toronto destroyed Carolina, put up 8 goals on them. That's the team we have to face again this weekend at home. I know they beat us earlier this year. I don't know how you think the matchup is going to be between the Devils and the Maple Leafs coming up. And then also get your thoughts on the Winter Classic as well versus the Sabres at your stadium, City Field.
I think the Devils, both games are going to be tough. Toronto's been struggling. Austin Matthews has been out of the lineup a lot. I believe it's been a lower body injury, but they really haven't said. Always tough. The advantage for the Rangers, of course, that's a home game. The Devil game's right in Jersey. So, once again, they really don't have to do any travel, which, you know, was great. the Devils are playing really good hockey right now. The first place team, it's going to be a battle for first place in a division. They just came off beating the Ducks last night. Always a tough team to play. They always play the Rangers hard. So no easy games. I think the Rangers can take both of them if they play the way they've played these last three. But like you say, Steve, on any given day, anyone can win. The Winter Classic is going to be a hell of a lot of fun. The Buffalo Sabres are really slumping, but that doesn't mean they're not going to come out hard and play hard at Citi Field. That game's, of course, on January 1st at Citi Field. They've been posting pictures the last couple of days. The NHL started laying the framework for the boards and the dashboards, I should say, and laying down the ice, I think, towards the end of this week. So that should be, you know, interesting. It's always a lot of fun. It's always a great turnout for them. Outdoor hockey is always fun, so we'll see what happens.
Are you going? I would expect
you.
No,
I'm not
what?
Going.
You're not going?
I love hockey. I am not spending $230 a ticket to go sit in the bleachers. I will watch it from home like I've done every single Winter Classic with the family, make a whole day out of it.
Yeah.
I'll enjoy it that much. It's
gotcha,
just, you know,
gotcha.
it gets expensive when you're going to make a mortgage payment to go to a hockey game. As much as I wanted to, it was just better off not. But I'll tell you a quick story, Steve. You got 5 minutes, quick story.
Yep.
Tomorrow night on the NHL Network, they're having a documentary on the first inaugural Winter Classic 10 years ago. I know about this because the NHL Network contacted me today, or yesterday actually, and sent me an early clip of the entire documentary to view, and I wrote up a story that's going to be posted tomorrow, all about it. I tell you, they did a really good job on it. Michael Keaton hosted it, and it goes through the whole thing of how they picked the Buffalo, why they picked Pittsburgh, all the problems they had, you know, making the ice then compared to how, not that it's easier now, but more of a formula now. When they did the ice for the very first time out there, the problems they had, it was when you watch it and the snow they had and the weather. It's a really good documentary. It's on tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Since there's no hockey game, I'll probably watch it again, though I've already watched it two or three times on my computer. But they do a really good job on showing everyone why they did it, how they chose the teams, why Buffalo. You know, it's pretty interesting. They've come a long way in 10 years, I tell you. It's led to 23 outdoor games. You know, now they do outdoor hockey in California, in San Jose. It's amazing what they can do now. So it's a pretty good deal. You guys get some time, pick it up and watch it.
Yeah, definitely check it out, man. Give a look at that. You said tomorrow night. I'm definitely free to tap that out, man. Appreciate that. RP, anything else around the league? I can't think of any. Eastern Conference is fun to watch right now, man. It's all separated between 4 points between, like, six slots, it seems like. So,
yeah.
I don't have nothing else to say. The Rangers, I just think that maybe, you know, we'll probably be in a better position had we won in Ottawa last week. I could live with the Dallas overtime loss with 1 point, but two, that could have been another 2 points had we went to Ottawa seriously. But that's kind of in the rear view right now. We got to keep on going forward. We got two tough games coming up. But anyway, RP, give us your final thoughts. And we had a great time. For those who haven't or listened just to the Rink podcast, you got to go back to our holiday podcast as well with everybody on there. RP sharing his thoughts, talking sports, man. It was great having RP with us on the holiday stakeholders podcast as well, on archives of BleeBlueShow.com. But RP, tell your final thoughts. Anything that's on your mind with sports, and the holidays, Christmas, anywhere you want to go with this, and tell everybody. Ranger Proud on social media.
Well, wish everybody a happy holidays and a Merry Christmas, because we won't be speaking again, Steve, until after the Winter Classic.
New Year. Right.
New Year. First Tuesday of the New Year.
Yes, sir.
The day after the Winter Classic, so we'll have
straight out
know,
of
five hockey games to discuss. It'll be it'll be a long podcast that night. I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about, but you know, just hope the team just keeps rolling along, keeps playing solid hockey. Hope everyone has a great holiday season. Enjoy, be safe, watch the Winter Classic. Keep following Ranger Proud on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Read my stories on Elite Sports New York. There'll be a lot going on. And, you know, just enjoy yourselves, because it's always a great day to talk about hockey, boys.
You know, we may not be doing a podcast, but you never know, man. If I could get RP, we could do the video, man. We're due for a video, so we might squeeze one in between the podcast.
We could try to do a video maybe after the Capitol game next week, like on the
28th. We could probably do that. We could probably do that. Let's try to aim for something like
you let me know. Unfortunately, I got to work all week after. From that Tuesday on, it's a regular routine for me. So let me know. We'll try to hook up and get something out there for the fans.
Yeah, Ranger Pod, Ranger Proud, the Ring Podcast with RP Ranger Proud. The Rangers win, and that's how you conclude on this podcast with a nice win for the Blue Shirts. Looking forward to the games, man. You can't tweet them during the games, but you can get the Ranger Proud on Twitter, like you said, at Ranger Proud. RP, it's been fun, man. Had a good time, good win. Let's move on. Let's try to get more 2 points, man, before the end of this year and see where we stand. Sunday, also. Lee Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Blee blue, blee blue, blee blue, blee blue, blee blue, blee blue, blee blue.